And I just wanted to share something that I felt from Acts chapter 1. So you guys know Luke wrote the book of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts, right? And right at the beginning of Acts, in Acts 1 verse 1, he says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen." And so that really struck me, because it says, you know, I think sometimes we look at the Gospels, we like, that's the complete spectrum of what Jesus did and taught. And actually, Luke is saying here that this is what Jesus began to do and to teach. And then he carries on with the story of what Jesus continued to do through the Holy Spirit, through the early church. And so it's just this amazing continuance of the story. It didn't stop there in the Gospels, but it carries on and it breaks out into this newly formed community, the church. And so I just really want to encourage us around this weekend. Some of us may have had experiences with God, with the Holy Spirit, and I don't want it to be a mountaintop experience that's something that happens on camp and we have to wait till, you know, next year on camp to have it again. But I really firmly believe and want to encourage us that God wants us to experience something of His Spirit in our lives on a daily basis, and He wants us to walk in the Spirit, and He wants us to experience Jesus through the Spirit daily. And so some of the things that God's deposited in us this weekend, some of the gifts that He stirred, some of the stuff that He sparked in us, we need to go out from here and put those things into practice. We need to activate that. We need to do something about it. Otherwise, it is going to be a thing where, you know, for the next year, we're not experiencing that sonship, or, you know, unless it's on the odd occasion. But I really believe God wants us to experience it on a daily basis. And then just to encourage us, some of us might be grappling and wrestling with the stuff that's been taught and it doesn't make sense to us. And I want to encourage you, that's a good thing. Continue to grapple, continue to wrestle, continue to go to the Word of God and look for the answers that you're seeking. Just to encourage you with that. Awesome. So what we want to do this morning is we want to just give opportunity for guys to share testimonies and stories of stuff that God might have done in you or stirred in you this weekend. Maybe you want to share a testimony of what God did. Maybe you got baptized in the Spirit last night, or maybe you spoke in tongues, or maybe God spoke something to you or encouraged you with something, or you want to share a prophetic word, or you want to share a word that God's given you and you want to start putting into practice the things that He's sparked and stirred in you. We want to give an opportunity for that now. And then also just to practice the gifts. If someone feels like you want to start praying for the sick, then let's pray for the sick. Let's begin to operate in those gifts. And then what we also want to do is give an opportunity for guys to, if you haven't been baptized in water yet, there's a pool over yonder. There's still some water in it. It's not completely dry yet. And is there anyone who would like that, would like to be baptized? There's a whole community of people who would be willing witnesses and onlookers and rejoice with you. And it is such an awesome moment. Just to encourage you, if you haven't been baptized in water, it's an incredible moment of connection with our Father. It's a step of obedience. Scripture tells us that when we believe, we need to be baptized. And so it's that step of obedience into all that God has for us. It's a line in the sand where we can actually point to a moment in a day and we say, actually, you know, if Satan comes to tempt us and to remind us of stuff in our past, we're like, hey, the guy you're talking about, the girl you're talking about, they died there. They're buried under the water. And they've been raised, I've been raised into newness of life with Christ. And there's such a power that comes with that. So, yeah, just to encourage guys, if you want to get baptized, please come and chat to Batesy and myself right after this meeting. Don't delay, because we need to organize and get everyone down there. Cool. I'm going to open it up. If anyone would like to come and share something that's burning on your heart, now is the time. Kai wants to speak in tongues for us. Cool. Anyone? Jan, thanks, Bri.
So yesterday, last night, actually, so I was asking Ollie and Paul to pray for me, and Paul just gave me this amazing picture of the Gideon, where Gideon was he wasn't like the strongest warrior or the most prominent person at that point, but God saw something in him and he called him up and said, like, you are the strong warrior, you are the rock that I want to build on and use. And so he was just saying something that God is calling that out in me and saying that He wants to use me. He sees the strength in me which I might not see at the moment, but he wants to rewire that so that I can really trust in what God wants to do in me. And yeah, that was just so encouraging. And I want to build on that, not like you're saying, like have a summer thing, but I want to like really live in that and going forward. I'm excited for what God wants to do in and through me.
Awesome, man. Yeah, give him a hand. Yeah, Johan, I'll just witness with that and just encourage you, bro. And just, it's awesome. Like, we're not just after an experience and after goosebumps, but we want truth. And God comes and he brings deposits of truth through his spirit in our hearts that, you know, you can live on that and you can build on that. And those are things that become bedrock and foundational to who you are in your walk. So, yeah, just well done, Johan. And just encourage you that I believe that for you, man. Anyone else want to share something? Just come, guys. Yeah, just come grab the mic, eh?
Yeah, so I think, well, that prophetic word that Shirley shared last night were words. There was a lot there. But one of the things I think over the past 2 years, we've been investing a lot in understanding and grappling with what the gospel means. And for me personally, there's been a lot of like implementing head knowledge and trying to get all those things right. But I think all of us are feeling this restlessness to see those things go into action. And last night praying for the Spirit and just seeing what the apostles did, they had been walking with Jesus. They had a lot of knowledge, but they prayed that God would give them boldness to share what they had. And just something that might encourage you, last year we had Alpha, and there's one guy who was very, he questioned a lot. And it was like once you answer one question, there's just another one, and felt like you got nowhere. But now it's a few months later. I haven't spoken to him much, but then the other day I had him over for breakfast, and it's suddenly like something had just changed. And for 2.5 hours, we spoke about the gospel, and he was just like initiating it all the time. And just wanted to know more. And it was like his whole attitude changed. It's like all those words at a stage while I was just sharing about Christ, his eyes started watering up. But this guy was so kind of hard and he was so adamant to prove Christianity wrong, had been so touched by what the gospel does. So I just want to pray for us as a group and as a community that God would fill us with boldness to not be so scared to share the gospel. And it's really frustrating as a Christian. I think it's a really healthy frustration when you know a lot, but you're not seeing a lot. We need to get frustrated with it. We need to get frustrated with if our lives revolve around the gospel, but we're not sharing it on a daily basis. That needs to frustrate us. It needs to bother us. So let's pray that God would fill us with boldness, and that his spirit, which was sent to testify about Jesus and about his resurrection, about his return, would dwell in us with power. So if you guys would just pray with me. Lord, thank you this morning that you have revealed your gospel to us, that each of us have been radically changed by this good news, that the Christ has come and reconciled us to our Father, to our Creator, and he's given us eternal life in him. And Lord, I pray that you would right now in this room fill us with your Spirit and with boldness, that as we leave this camp, Lord, that we'd be more empowered, more bold to share your gospel, Lord. May we each day be so focused, Lord, on seeing your kingdom come. Help us, Lord, to understand what it means to see your kingdom come on earth, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in our community, and that it's never we who initiate these things, but you are leader, you are shepherd, Lord. So this morning we just want to make ourselves available, Lord. Thank you that you're leading us, Lord. Thank you that you are the good shepherd and that you are walking in front of us and leading us, God. We just open ourselves. We say, Lord, we are ready for your leading. Please come, Lord, and indwell us and dwell among us, Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Otto. Awesome. Very good. Who's next? Come grab the mic, guys.
So this morning when I got up, I decided I wanted to go and have a little bit of a hike. It's the last day. I didn't fit it in yesterday. So I went up and I knew that time was also a factor. So I started walking and I just found a little place and sat down there and read my Bible. And one of the things that really like came to mind was God as our rock and our anchor, and how the moment we anchor ourselves in Him, He will always be there for us and protect us. Even when the winds and the storms and fires come, He will protect us because we are anchored in Him. And the roots that are anchored in the rock are almost more protected than the roots in the ground, because nothing can really just like push them away and uproot them as easily as the ones that are actually in the ground. And I also thought of the story of the house that was built on the rocks and how it was, there was not much that could defeat that house. And if we are the house of God and we plant ourselves in Him, we won't be defeated as easily when the attacks come and when the storms come.
I was just massively encouraged by that prophetic words yesterday, and how that woman doesn't know our community, but like stuff was just spot on, and how God is at work. And I believe there's some of us here who are also those prophets and prophetesses who just need to grow in boldness, and how encouraging that was for us. Imagine how much we can encourage others if we'll just operate in those gifts. So, but it's just a whole lot of that stuff is stuff Jen and I have been talking about for like the past 2 years, and it was just massively encouraging to hear literally dead on things. When I was listening to that, I thought it was Shirley, because I was in the mom's room and I didn't catch the beginning. I thought it was her word to us, but when it was someone else, I was like, wow, that's amazing. That can only be God's insight. So I'd love to just pray over us that those sorts of gifts would be released among us, and we would grow in that boldness to encourage others. Thank you, God, that you speak. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you want to use each of us. No matter how inadequate we feel, or how unworthy we feel, or how unequipped we feel, you can still use us, God. It is amazing. Thank you for that amazing word that you have spoken over this church. Would you help us to just walk in that, to see it lived out, and we can look back year after year and see how you are fulfilling your word to us, Lord. I just pray in this community and this congregation that you would release prophets and prophetesses, and all those gifts, Lord God, would come to bear, and they would encourage this community and others far afield, just like that word did to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey guys, I'm so crazy because God's really been stirring in my heart exactly about this boldness. And I've always had this excuse like, oh no, I've been a Christian for only like 3 years. I don't know enough to, you know, share about Jesus. And He really has been speaking to me about stepping out, like really just stepping out. And it's so crazy because you pray about it and you're like, yeah, I want to step out, cool. And then God puts something in your heart to step out, and you're like, oh gosh, okay. And it's really cool because this year in our faculty, I'm studying honors in BAC. Guys, actually part of this church started a prayer group for people in BAC a couple years ago, and I've been joining it. It's every Friday morning, and I was like, okay, cool, this is fun. But then last year I was like, oh no, I don't think I'm going to continue with it. And then at the end of the year, God really put it on my heart to put my hand up to take over this prayer group, which is huge because flop, I'm not ready to lead a prayer group, like wow. So yeah, I put my hand up, and oh, it's just been incredible, like so many new Christians putting their hand up to say like, I really want to join this prayer group. And so cool because 2 days before our first meeting, one of the girls in my class came up to me and she was like, are you Vaughn? Someone told me that I should come speak to you about meeting Christians within BAC. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Come join our prayer group. So cool. And then also last year, a couple Christians started what they call the encouragement sessions in our faculty, which what it entails is just getting Christian lecturers to come in on a Monday morning, half an hour before class, and just encourage the class, share their testimonies, and not usually work-related. It's more about their lives and stuff. So there's eight Christians that are continuing it this year. And yeah, we've been praying a lot about it, and it's now in the works. And so cool because our faculty head is not a Christian. And so it was something we really needed to pray about to get his approval, because he does have to sign off on it before we could do something like this. And the guy who's took the encouragement sessions went and spoke to him, and he was really excited about it, and he was like, as long as you guys are quite clear about your intentions, I don't want students coming up to me saying that they think they were tricked into coming to a preach. So we prayed about it, and he was going to announce it to the class, and it was all awesome. And then on Thursday night, he messaged me, and he's like, listen, Vonnie, do you mind making the announcement? And I was like, no, that's not something I want to do. And God really stirred my heart and was like, this is what it looks like to step out. This is what it looks like to trust me. So I said I would do it, and we had prayer on the Friday morning before I made the announcement, and Matt, the guy that asked me, was like, I actually don't know why I asked you, but God said to me, you need to ask Vonnie to do this. So it's just so incredible how you see God really working. And yeah, so the one thing God spoke to me on Thursday night about, because I'm a planner, to a T, everything needs to be in a box, you know. So my plan was to go and write out a speech, you know, and learn the speech, and that is what I was going to say to the class, you know. And he really spoke to me and was like, I don't want you to plan. I just want you to go up and trust me. And flip, I was so nervous. So I go up, and the response was incredible. To be honest with you, I can't really remember what I said. But just people coming up like, I'm so excited. This is exactly what I need. And so we're starting on Monday. And it's awesome because the amount of Christians in the BAC faculty in terms of lecturers as well is just phenomenal, and I've really felt like God is really stirring something in this department. And he gave me such an awesome vision of these are the people who are going to be CEOs and, you know, going out into the world. And can you imagine the difference they can make as Christian leaders? So it's so incredible how he's really working. So yeah, just something really big to pray about, that, yeah, just these encouragement sessions that God will really just touch the hearts of these people. And it's big and it's scary. But yeah, I think God is really working. And this whole thing about boldness is, and the reward is just so incredible. I mean, it's not about having this whole big plan on what to say and how to say it and doing the tick boxes on how to explain Jesus. It's just trusting the Spirit to lead you. And yeah, the rewards are amazing.
Can we pray for you? Yeah. Guys, why don't you just, I'm going to pray for Vonnie and just extend some faith and prayers. We're just going to, Jesus, thank you for Vonnie. Thank you for where you've placed her in this BAC faculty. Thank you for her obedience and faithfulness and willingness, God. And you are all over that, Lord. You are so faithful when we respond in the smallest way, God. You meet us with such a deluge of grace, Lord. And I just pray for her and this team of believers, just passionate about reaching their faculty and seeing people's lives transformed by the gospel, Father. And we just pray your empowering, your emboldening, your equipping for her and for them, Lord God. We pray for these prayer meetings, God, that you would meet with them, God, that they would grow, that people would come, Lord, that they'd hear, that there'd be a buzz, just an excitement, Father, about what you're doing in this faculty, Lord. We just pray you'd equip them with the tools that they need. We pray you'd protect them from the enemy, Lord God. We pray you'd give them favor with lecturers and deans and overseers and administrators, God, that they can do whatever you want them to do with freedom in that faculty, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well done, Vonnie. So proud of you, man. That's awesome. Who's next?
Hello. I just wanted to share something about surrender. I think it can seem quite like you're giving up or whatever, but last night God really spoke to me and reminded me of surrender, and that, like, I often in my life I try and fight it, and I think it pleases God more by fighting against, you know, things and continuing and not surrendering, and almost thinking that pleases God more if you can do it, you know, if you can, like, no, I'm enduring, I'm doing it. And he just reminded me of times in my life where even just with my parents, I would do that, and, you know, they can see this stuff and they know what I need, but I'm like, I've got this. And I almost get frustrated when they try to comfort me or try to give me advice, because I think that even with them, I'm like, I don't want you to worry. So I'm just going to be strong and keep fighting this. And then times where it gets to a point where, like, you just, you know, you kind of do give up, and then I'll bring it back now, but I'm thinking of like a literal thing with my parents. And then where you can't anymore, and I've had times where I've just like fallen before them, and what has come from that, and the comfort, and like how it brings you immediately in that second where you completely just like fall before your parents and relating to God. And just how much fruit has come from that, and how close they then draw to me, and just so much your relationships becomes closer, and the comfort and basically the freedom in surrendering. And last night God really reminded me of the freedom in surrendering, and it's so amazing that He wants us. It pleases Him to surrender because we know that we are dependent on Him and we're not dependent on our own strength. So I just wanted to encourage you guys to just surrender before God, either if you have never surrendered to Jesus, or if there are specific things in your life. But I just want to encourage you about the freedom in surrendering, and if you feel that you're not in a place to surrender, because it's almost not a choice, it becomes like you can't anymore, and then you just do surrender, and to ask God to help you and soften your heart to be able to surrender before Him and not do things out of your own strength.
Awesome. I think so many times our response to God is, I've got this. And that's such a good word, just in terms of yielding to God. I really feel this weekend God's encouraging a lot of us to yield to Him and surrender. So thanks, Lishay. I think there was Amanda wanted to share.
I just want to share a story about, so God helped me this week. So He's been putting people on my heart, I think more or less three especially, that I study with in the conserve. But the third one, it's this girl, and I met her last year, and she, I immediately knew that we weren't going to be friends. Like, you know, if you think about your comfort zone, like, you're like, okay, I can chat to her, but then to a point. I know that's not really the godly, but anyway, yeah. So not looking at her from a believer perspective or from Jesus' love, but from my own selfish. But anyway, and then, a week ago, so God has also been speaking to me about boldness and building relationship with people, especially non-believers in the conserve, because there are a lot there. And obviously, there are probably a lot everywhere, but I find it very in my face a lot of the times in the conserve. The conserve is where I study. It's like a conservatorium of music. So I don't know, it's every day you're in it. And then this girl, God put her on my heart, but very subtly. So I didn't actually get to a point where, because what I do is if He gives me a name, I'm like, okay, I now need to seek them out, build relationship, like show them I'm there, like I care about you, you know. And then this girl, and I always thought that she has so many friends, and she'll diss you if she doesn't want to talk to you. And then this week she just started talking to me and coming, like she sat next to me in class, and I was like, okay, but it was very easy to just be with her. And then she asked me, can we go for coffee? And I said, yeah, let's go. and then she, when we were having coffee or having lunch, actually, she said, she's so glad that I sit next to her in class because nobody wants to sit with her. And I was like, that's not my perspective. I thought you have lots of friends. But then she said, no, she feels lost. She feels like nobody understands, and like she doesn't have deep relationships. And that's like an example of how God literally just did that. Like He did that for me. I didn't go and seek her out. I didn't chase after her and excessively show her that I'm a Christian, so I love you, I care for you, I'll be here for you. She just kind of sensed it in a way. I think she sensed that I'm like, because God is in me, she's safe with me, and she can trust me in a way, because that relationship went very quickly, very deep. So yeah, it's just a testimony of how God really knows who He wants to talk to that day, for example, and He wants to use you. So he wanted an appointment with her, and He's like, I'm going to use you. So yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so this is more like about me this time, not about reaching out. So Shirley was doing the identity course, and I went specifically because I had to unlock and everything. I didn't go specifically to actually attend, but I attended anyway. And and you all know me, I'm not that emotional. So I don't know if anyone here was there. We were having a little bit of a fun talk about I'm not really emotional. So cause she wanted us to go and do this. Go sit and delve and talk, and I was like, okay, I'll do this. It's not. So we joked about it. So anyway, I went and I did it, and I got stuck on the one lost sheep. And actually, God did speak to me that night. I didn't cry, but it but He did show me that He left the others to come find me, actually me, personally me. And I'd never really thought of it that way. It was more like He goes to find you or you, but not me. So I was like, okay, well, that was cool. You know, He actually does like me. He actually wanted to find me. That's nice to put in my little pack or whatever. So went off and I was chuffed. And then I think it was Wally on the Thursday. He spoke a bit about divorce and that his parents were divorced and he thought it was his fault. And I was like, okay, my parents also divorced, so is there any damage from mine? And it took me back to a memory that I haven't had. It's a memory my sister tells me I had of being at school, and my dad came to fetch my stepsister. And I felt I was rejected, I suppose, but I don't have that memory. She tells me she found me that afternoon. So that came back, and I was like, okay, what's the linking here? And I linked the fact that I find that I feel like I don't have a space in this life sometimes. I feel like my space is very small and that I don't fill it. I don't know if that makes any sense to anyone. I sort of like don't want to bug you because I don't have a space. I don't want to get in your space. Your space is more important than mine, is kind of the feeling I have sometimes. So that linked together, and I was like, okay, well, that's quite cool that He's revealed this to me, which actually reveals a bit about the emotion side as well, the way I've blocked that off, and also the fact that I do struggle sometimes to see the Father as my dad. And now this weekend, yesterday and today, He kept saying to me, call me daddy, the word daddy. And because my dad wasn't around since I was about 8, I don't remember having used that term with that feeling. And so throughout the weekend, I've been trying to say the word daddy and trying to feel that feeling. And it's coming and it's enjoyable. But it's just another little step in the right direction. And the fact that He revealed that He wanted to find me and that I am important, that I am valuable, and I do fill a space in this world has actually given me just a little bit of an edge when I'm speaking to other people now. I actually feel like I have a space and I do belong here, and I can actually speak. So that identity course, if anybody didn't do it, or if you want a booklet, we can give it to you, because that helps when we're trying to speak to other people. Because if we don't have our identity right, how can we then? So we have to have that solid. So that has actually helped me then speak to other people as well. So it's all little things just adding together.
Thanks, Shaw. Awesome. Isn't Jesus awesome, eh? Just how He knows our individual stories. It's so great.
Thank you. Okay, so I know quite a few of you don't actually know my story, but for context, I was raped in my first year. And one of the consequences of me being raped is that I came down with herpes. So once I found out, I did my research, and herpes is actually incurable. It goes into your bloodstream and there's no cure for it. But over the holidays, I saw a psychiatrist, and something that came of that is I did a blood test, and I found out at the beginning of the year that I'm actually completely clean. Nothing in my bloodstream, absolutely nothing.
Awesome. Thank you.
That's wonderful. Thank you, God. He makes us new, hey? New creations in Christ. That's so beautiful. Ames.
Thanks, Sally. So I have like a very heavy heart for girls and women stuck in prostitution. And like 3 weeks ago, I just started having these nightmares of these girls. And it's been a reality for me for ages and worked in it in my gap year. But from 3 weeks ago, like every night, I was just tormented by these nightmares of like real life situations of these girls. And like really battled through working through like seeing such a vivid picture of that, and then working through a loving God and saying, I don't understand the link, do you know what I mean? The link of like a, from such abusive, like destructive situations, and then linking that to like such a loving God. And really like the last 3 weeks have like really battled through that. And a couple of weeks at church, went to church, and I like woke up on the Saturday night at like 2 a.m. on my kitchen floor, just like in tears from one of my dreams, and like too scared to like get in back into bed, and was like, Lord, I really don't get it. I don't get how I minister to girls like this and proclaim a love, but the reality is that we just say, oh, it's part of a sovereign plan, but like, how does that work when it's actually so real in their lives? And so went to church on Sunday, like I think 2 weeks ago, and was standing in worship and actually left church and was like, I don't know who I am and I don't know how to pray and sing to you if I don't get that. Like, if I don't understand how you can love and let that happen. And so the last 3 weeks has been like a bit crazy of like really working that through and saying, I can't just say it's part of a sovereign plan when actually that's such a reality that people go through, and that's such a offhand way to answer a question. And last night was really praying it through again, and like also like not wanting to sleep because of knowing that you're going to dream. And Lachey prayed for me, and then Dean, and just really praying it through and saying like, Lord, I just don't get it. And as like we were praying, I had a picture of like one of the dreams I'd had on Friday night, and saw the exact same dream with the exact same little girl. And as I said, I was like, Lord, show me your perspective, like I just don't get it. And I like it like almost like went up and showed me a picture of him and the angels and this like very like deserted like brown field and them just weeping. And it wasn't like a I'm standing back and watching this happen. It was a I'm weeping for these girls just as much as you are, and my heart breaks just as much as your heart breaks. And the whole idea of saying I'm just a detached sovereign God is not my heart. Like, that's not what I say. I weep with you. Like, I weep with what happens. And like for the first time in 3 weeks, I think, I didn't have a dream last night and woke up like after having a full night's sleep, and just such a like piece of his, yes, his sovereignty, but his like real intimate care and love for every single situation, and not a sovereign God who looks down and says it's part of my like bigger plan. Yeah.
Give.
Thank you. Last night, I really was touched by something. It's something that we all suppress, things that don't make sense and that are too difficult to deal with. So I've been suppressing something since 2013 when my brother passed away. And last night it hit me so hard, just God has a purpose for all of us. And for me, when my brother passed away, I couldn't figure out why. I was like, no, I would have gladly died for him. Why did he have to go? He had so much more to do than I did. He could have done so much more. He had so much more strength and ability to talk to people and share with people. Sociable. And why did I go? Me, just introvert, just, I don't get it. But last night he just told me, no, it's not like that. I picked you for a reason. He had his reason to go. And he touched millions through it. Well, not millions, but touched all the people around him. But the Holy Spirit, when it runs through you, it can. It can touch so many more. And he chose us for a reason and chose us for a time and to come out of our space when we're supposed to. And the works, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I believe that does happen in due time. And it's not always when we think it's going to be or when it happened to Jim or Tom. But I don't know, just I hope it's encouragement to someone that there is a plan for us and there's a reason that we're still here. Not everyone has the chance to live another hour, another minute, another day. But for some reason, we're all here today and we're all here to hear each other's words and words of encouragement and to go out tomorrow and really do something amazing with it. So I just want to thank you guys for being here and actually encouraging me with all that you've said.
Thanks, Kev, bro. I just want to affirm you as well, just the way you've grown and pressed into God and just see what God's doing in your life, man. And it's so encouraging. And you know, I just want to encourage you with that. Cool. Anyone else? Cara.
Yeah, so last year, the young adults team, we had a person come in who spoke to us about, you know, your moral values in your workplace. And one of the stories that he told was also the fact that he's had situations where, at the end of the day, like, you feel conflicted and you feel you need to get out of the situation, but at home, you maybe have a child, or there's maybe something. Well, the specific story that he told, there was, you know, it was a single parent, then there's a child at home, and if that person now quits their job, I mean, there's nothing else. There's nothing else you can do, but you need to now, you know, you have to feed your child, and what are you going to do? And the point of the story that he was trying to tell us also is the fact that you also have to sometimes also give it over to God and be like, okay, well, I am in this situation and I feel conflicted by God that I need to get out of it, and it doesn't make sense because now I'm going to be in a situation without money or without whatever. And it's there where hope comes in, and it's there where God takes over, and it's there where miracles happen. And my story isn't that very dramatic, but last year, June, I had a situation with my boss, and I call it sexual assault, and Derek calls it more like, kind of like an idiot that had a crush on me. And yeah, so it wasn't very nice, and we just said no. I think the next day I went into work, and then after that I said never again. I'm not going ever again into work, and I immediately gave him my notice for 1 month, and for that rest of that month I worked from home. I didn't go into the office. And I was for 6 months without a job, but there was only 1 month that I didn't bring in money. And God completely took over the situation, and he completely turned everything around. And where I am now a teacher, and I'm so happy, and I can't believe that I didn't do it from the beginning, because if I look back at the signs, I should have done it from the beginning. Why did I not listen? Oh my word, like, I don't know. It's just sometimes God tries to tell you something and you're just so flippin' stubborn. So, and yeah, just if you're in a situation where you feel like, but you know, but what am I going to do? Just leave it in God's hands. He will definitely make it even better than you could have thought at that point. At that point, you're crying and you're down and you know, seeing psychologists and you're seeing doctors and you're thinking, what the flip? But God takes it over and he just makes it even better. Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool. Grace, y'all come.
Hi guys. This is my like joy. This is my fourth family camp that I've been on. It doesn't feel like that at all. But I was just sort of reflecting this morning on what it was like for me to be at this exact camp sort of the first time I was here. And I just remember feeling so like I didn't have a space, like it was a new church. It was normal. I was just new in the church. And I'm looking at this church now, and I, like, there's an entirely new contingent of people, almost. But the heart and the soul of this church is so real. And I just want to encourage all of us that, like, we are a community of people who go deeper. We are a community of people who are real. And when I say we, I mean every single person in this room. And that those prophetic words that were spoken over us, that is about you. And I just have it on my heart to remind us that this community is like it is because we take ownership of being genuine. And something that I've experienced so, so much. I think this church has opened my eyes to what it is to be like a community that every single person has ownership of it. And I just want to pray for us that goes deeper, that people who are here from the, like, if this is your first time at family camp, like, man, next 4 years are going to be awesome for you if you stay that long. but Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being the beating heart of this church. Thank you that you are the life force in our veins. Father God, thank you that you prompt us and that we are sensitive to where you're going. Father, I pray just at this point, Lord, that you would grip our hearts again to be real, that you would keep on prompting us to where we need to go deeper, where we need to ask for your guidance more. Lord God, I pray for us as a community that we would love one another, and by that people will know that we're yours. Father, thank you for unity, and I pray a protection over it. Thank you that unity commands a blessing. Yeah, Lord, we praise you and we thank you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to be with us as we go out. We ask you to be with us as we meet this year. We ask you to do more than we could ever imagine in our lives. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are alive. Would you blow through this community? Amen.
Thanks, Grace. Awesome. Okay, one more and then Bates is going to land it. So who would like to share the last one?
Okay, so this is a little bit based on what I said yesterday, but God just, while I was sitting there listening to everything, just told me I needed to say this. But so with epilepsy, it's very much a thing. You have zero control of your own brain. Your brain can just cut on you at any moment in time. And because I was diagnosed at such a young age, I had this lack of control, which made, in turn, turn me into a bit of a control freak, and I'd have serious panic attacks when I wasn't truly in control of a situation. And through finding Christ, only, I think it's been about a 5-year journey, but it only really happened last year, I learned to relinquish this control. And it was possibly the scariest thing I've ever done, was to say, you know what, I can't look after this. I can't do this. God, it's in your hands. I haven't trusted him my entire life to do that, but last year I thought, you know, this is the time. And I just feel like maybe there's someone here, just the whole time I've been sitting there, just someone there who's also struggling with this concept of control. Just give it up to God. It is possibly the most freeing thing you could do. I feel like, yeah, so much light and so much better. And I just pray that, yeah, whoever here is struggling with control, and that you can find the same peace. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much. It's just so cool how God speaks to each of us in different ways and is busy with different things. I'm so encouraged by hearing all these different stories and how God is so alive and active. And one of the most encouraging things for me about testimonies is, specifically if you're in a bit of a dry patch in your walk with God, to hear that he is still alive, still working, still active in all the lives around us, for me is just massively encouraging. Like, yes, God, come and work in my life. I still want to follow you and see you at work. And it's really, really awesome. And it's so cool because, I mean, I think most of those stories I'd never heard before. It's amazing. God's like doing cool stuff. So I want to encourage us to share these stories far and wide as is appropriate. But to share these stories with your friends, with those who don't yet know Jesus, they're amazing and they're encouraging. And a lot of them, God is undeniably at work. So go for it and share those. Just one thing I felt specifically also off the back of this weekend, we're going to land in a moment, is if anything this weekend, specifically around the Holy Spirit and so on, has kind of disturbed you a little bit and bothered you, you feel like, do I even know God? Like, I don't think it's all of us, but maybe some of us. Don't give up. Don't give in. Push in further. I was chatting to someone this weekend who had a bit of a like kind of crisis of faith a few weeks ago, and they just kept on pushing in, kept on seeking God, asking questions, speaking to the right people, and I've come out stronger on the other side and feel flip. Now I feel like I know God more, and like, sheesh, I've missed out on this, but now I can walk in the fullness of what God has. So if any of you have that, please, I just want to encourage you, keep pushing and speak to the people in your life, speak to more people in this church, and let God work in and through you, and let the Holy Spirit become more alive and more real in your life. And I'm just so encouraged by what Ollie shared just now, as where the Holy Spirit just empowers us to do Christ's work. And as Wally's been sharing, and Shirley, some of us might feel like, flip, I can never do that. Like, I'm not them. They're these like freak shows of the faith, you know. But so that was a little inappropriate, but anyway. But God's got a special and awesome plan and purpose for each of us, and the Holy Spirit wants to see that come alive. And it's so cool how each of our different stories are so unique, even as we shared this morning, and the Holy Spirit wants to use those to impact our town. And so how great would it be if next family camp we had half the room where people had come to Jesus within the year to the next family camp? How great would that be? It's just one person for each of us in this year to come. So let's trust that the Holy Spirit would do that in and through us, and Jesus would get glory. Okay, I'm going to close in prayer. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for this amazing community. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just empower us and equip us to do your work. Thank you, Jesus, that you get most glory when the Holy Spirit is alive and active in us. And so we love you, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to be with us now as we leave into the weeks to come, just stirring us up and sending us out to be witnesses in our world. In Jesus' name, amen.